a moth goes into a podiatrist's office, mm-hmm. and the podiatrist's office says, "What's the problem?" And the moth says, "What's the problem? Where do I begin, man?" He goes, "I go to work for Gregory Linovich, and all day long I work." "Honestly, Doc, I don't even know what I'm doing anymore. I don't even know if Gregory Linovich knows. He only knows that he has power over me, and that seems to bring him happiness. But I don't know. I wake up in a malaise, and I walk here and there." The podiatrist says, "Oh, yeah?" And the moth goes, "Yes." And he goes, "At night, I sometimes wake up, and I turn to some old lady in my bed that's on my arm. A lady that I once loved, Doc. I don't know where to turn to. My youngest, Alexandria. She fell in the cold of last year. Mm-hmm. The cold took her down as it did many of us." "And my other boy." "And this is the hardest pill to swallow, Doc. My other boy, Gregorio Ivanilidovich. I no longer love him. As much as it pains me to say, when I look in his eyes, all I see is the same cowardice that I catch when I take a glimpse of my own face in the mirror. If only the cowardice was stronger, then perhaps I could bring myself to reach over to that cocked and loaded gun that lays on the bedside behind me." He says, "Doc, sometimes I feel like a spider, even though I'm a moth, just barely hanging onto my web with an everlasting fire underneath me. I'm not feeling good." And so the doctor says, "Moth, man, you're troubled. But you should be seeing a psychiatrist. Why on earth did you come here?" And then the moth said, "Because the light was on."
WFOD starts now.
This thing we call Dubfuck. My name is Mike. I am joined, of course, by the king of pranks, the albino alligator, popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Hello, hello.
Guys, the phone number to contact the show, it is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, there's so much going on in the world for us to discuss.
It's always turning. It's crazy.
I swear I've been seeing on social media all day today, Travis, and I think that people are not going to be happy until Britney Spears is dead. I think we're just waiting.
It seems to be going that direction.
We need her to be dead before we can be happy.
Yeah, it seems like the internet has been very invested in her turmoil. They seem to pretend to cheer once her conservatorship is apparently going to be disbanded. But really, they're just the internet is reaching for things to be wrong with Miss Britney Spears.
Well, and she deleted her Instagram account today, and everybody was freaking out because they were like, oh, well, something must be wrong. They're like, no, maybe she just doesn't want to share shit on Instagram anymore. Like, leave her alone.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she's finally able to delete social media without somebody breathing over her neck saying, nope, you have to keep that Instagram growing.
Wasn't
the final Instagram post her just like in a video showing off her ass in her bathroom?
Yeah, it was great, Travis. But it was so great in like a sick kind of way. Like,
fuck you to the. Yeah, right. But maybe it was the fuck you to the people who were forcing her to stay on social media. Right. It was like, here, here's my last hurrah on this bullshit you people make me do. I don't need to do this. I'm Britney Spears, bitch.
Right. You remember when you made me like do the same show in Vegas for 3 years because. Yeah, you know, like it paid good. Well, now I don't have to do that. I'm marrying some guy I just met. She's done that a bunch of times, hasn't she?
Oh, yeah, of course.
She probably just wants to go do hood rat shit somewhere, Travis. She's got money now. And like, yep. She probably just wants to go eat some goddamn Quiznos and chill the fuck out and be left alone for a while.
Yeah. She's never had the opportunity to do that, right? Like all of these other people who kind of came up with her, you know, and obviously she was the biggest superstar of like the early 2000s. But like even the people who kind of were coming up with her, you know, I mean, her ex, you know, Justin Timberlake and like Christina Aguilera, those people were able to kind of live their lives without being, you know, forced to do this, that, and the other thing. So they were able to do some of that hood rat shit probably. And like Britney now, I mean, she's a 40-year-old woman. She's just like, let me go to the In-N-Out Burger and gorge on a bunch of shit because I just got super stoned. And then I'm going to sit around and watch Kids in the Hall.
But everybody's like, wait, no, we just got you out of this thing. You need to entertain us. What are you doing?
Right. Dance, monkey, dance.
Right. We thought when we did all this free Britney shit, it would lead to like you going out on tour and doing your dances for us. You know, like when she did that, Britney. What are you doing? Are you going to live your life? No. We didn't do this for you.
Right. If any of these people were paying attention, the entire time she was saying, I don't want to be a dancing monkey. I want to just live my life. And people are like, yeah, you should be able to live your life, Brit. Let's get you out from under this conservatorship. Your dad's ruining your life. He's making you go on. Because if you remember back about a year and a half ago or so, like she was jumping on Instagram to make videos to be like, I'm okay, guys. Look at me do my yoga poses. I've never been in better shape in my life. Like,
and there was somebody right off camera with a gun.
Right, like forcing her to do these things. So she's like made it very clear she's not interested in doing these things anymore. So all of the people who thought they were going to liberate her into Madison Square Garden were not paying attention.
Do you remember the last? You probably don't, Travis, because you're a man who doesn't pay attention to these types of things. But the last time that she performed on one of those MTV Video Music Awards things, there was dancers just kind of tossing her around like a rag doll, and she had no idea where she was. Like you watched that, and like the choreography is that the word, Travis? Choreography?
Choreography?
Calligraphy? Or calligraphy? That's writing. Choreography.
Stenography. That's.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, they were like tossing her around and like doing spins and stuff. They were working overtime and she was just kind of there. They were Weekend at Bernie's hair all over the goddamn place. She wasn't singing
while the song was pumped in over the PA system.
And you're just like, wow, we're just like propping this up. and
yeah, they probably,
we're not going to be happy.
Peanut butter in her gums
until
right.
She kills herself or something terrible happens. We could probably just fake her death. Nobody would know the difference. Like, I mean, like, if you tell me Britney Spears is dead, I'm not going to like go try to find her. I'll believe you. I mean, we could fake deaths, Travis. It's not hard.
No, right. There's been plenty of times where somebody has decided to like say a celebrity's dead and then a bunch of news outlets pick it up and they don't necessarily take the time to confirm whether it's true or not. So if she just put that out there, had somebody put that out there.
Yeah, I'm dead.
And then never, you know, said the opposite. Then, you know, I mean, she could Elvis Presley her way to that that special island where, you know, Jim Morrison and Amelia Earhart all hung out.
I mean, she already deleted Instagram. She's one a third of the way there, Travis. Delete a couple more.
I mean,
off the grid. Who gives a shit?
More than halfway, really. I mean, if you're not on social media, are you even really alive?
Right. Richard Simmons has been tweeting for years, and that's not really Richard Simmons. His housekeeper kidnapped him, or he's just hanging out by himself. We don't really know. Maybe he is tweeting it. Who knows? I mean, he's not, but maybe he is. Travis, I want to tell you my nightstand story. Did I tell you my nightstand story already?
I don't know that it came to a conclusion.
Okay, so
the last time we talked about
what my wife and I were thinking is, you know, what we would like is to have a nightstand on either side of the bed. We have a nightstand, but it's on her side of the bed, and so, you know, like, I don't get to put all my stuff on my side of the bed. You know,
yeah,
you know,
where are you going to put your waters and your copy of Ayn Rand?
My phone charger, my watch charger, you know, like a light. If I want to turn on a light and read or something, can't do those types of things because we only have one nightstand. So the other day I see on the Facebook marketplace, there's a woman who has just set this nightstand out at the curb and said, I don't want this anymore. You can come just put it in your car and take it. And it kind of close enough matched our existing bedroom furniture to where I was like, wow, this is pretty good for free.
Yeah. Serendipitous too. If it's close to being a match.
Message the lady. I said, hey, I want to pick this up. And it worked out that it was like on my way home from work. I was like, fuck, I'm going to grab this free nightstand and then bring it to my house. So I get home in the chat. What kind of madness is this one nightstand family? Well, now we're not. Now we have two. Actually, now we have three nightstands. Fun fact, bought another nightstand at a thrift store for $8 and painted it. And then this opportunity came up. So I put this nightstand next to the couch downstairs. So now we just have extra nightstand. We're drunk in it, Travis. We're accumulating nightstands. So anyway, I get this nightstand home. I put it in the garage for a couple of days. And, you know, and next time I had a day off, I'm out there cleaning it out. And I pull out the bottom drawer and there's a ton of shit in it. And so I'm yanking this stuff out. There's some old Easter candy in there, Travis. I just throw that out. But then I'm finding like medical paperwork and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is weird. I find a bunch of like old greeting cards. I'm like, okay, I can just throw these away. And I get to, I find prescription drugs, Travis. I find several checks written to this woman, one for over $2,000.
How big is this fucking nightstand that you're finding all this shit under a drawer?
It's like a normal size nightstand.
That's a lot of shit packed under there.
Find her current passport, Travis. Her current passport. And
real quick, before you continue, prescription drugs in pill bottles or just like.
Yeah, it was in a pill bottle. We looked up the drug. It's actually banned. It seems like it's old stuff, Travis. And now, like.
But is there anything? The prescriptions, are they anything good? Are they?
It was like uppers? A heartburn medicine, but it's like been banned by the FDA. But it
sounds like good stuff.
Way expired. And I mean, like her passport, what happened was she went to Mexico in 2015, Travis, threw this passport in a drawer and never thought of it again. But it's still active. It's still current. You don't want to give a stranger your passport.
Well, I mean, that works out lucky for you in case you ever need to Jason Bourne it, right? Go put that in a safety deposit box. And if you ever have to go on the run, you got this good passport.
I feel like I'm forgetting some of the other stuff in a whole book of her checks. Just I could write checks willy nilly in her name, I guess. So I message her and I say, hey, do you like want your passport back? Because I have it. And I put all the stuff in a shopping bag and I brought it over to her house. And she opened the door, Travis, and she said, I don't even know how I function. She had like one of those voices, you know, like, oh, my God, yeah. Thank you so much. I don't even know how I function.
Did she offer you something cold to drink?
She did not. No.
And no reward.
No reward. No, she did thank me, which is its own reward, Travis. But
that's true. That's all you really need.
And you know, like I got the satisfaction from knowing that, you know, like mentally I'm better than someone, you know, because she's a dum-dum and I'm really smart.
Yeah. Yep. Because you know where your books of checks and your prescriptions are.
That and I'm a really good person, Travis. So I can give myself a pat on the back. Doing good deeds is its own reward, right?
Did you put it on social media?
What? Her passport?
No, the fact that you did this super nice thing.
Well, that's what I'm doing now.
If you don't,
I'm telling the story about what a good guy I am.
But I mean, and you're going to have to preface this episode when you post this online. You're going to have to say, listen to see
what a good guy Mike is.
What a good person I am.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Course. Like, I mean, because if doing good deeds for the sake of good deeds is not good enough, you need to make sure it's broadcast to, you know, whether it's Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. Like, people need to know that you're a good person and you're for good things.
Well, I hope that over the years of people listening to us that they've learned that, what a good guy I am, Travis. I hope that we've been building towards that. Like me eventually earning some kind of award. Of some type.
Oh, yeah. Man of the year.
I mean, something. Otherwise, like, what have we been doing this whole time? I want a reward. I want somebody to eventually acknowledge. By the way, this Bud Light Seltzer Maple Pear is gross. I don't like it.
Oh, it's a Bud Light one?
Yeah, it's Bud Light Seltzer Maple Pear. And I don't really taste pear. I taste a lot of maple, Travis.
Was that like a Christmas special multi-pack or something?
It's like a fall pack. It comes with a marshmallow flavor, which I'm looking forward to trying, and a pumpkin flavor, which I'm...
They put out a Christmas pack, I believe, last year, and there was like a peppermint one and I can't even remember what they all were. The only one that didn't, I think, sound disgusting was like, I think it was like a cranberry or something, but otherwise they were like actual Christmas flavors, and it sounded, I think there was like a hot chocolate, like a mocha one, and that all that sounds awful.
I'd try it. Yeah, no, see, Travis, let me tell you something. The other day I saw one of those baby on board stickers on a car.
I love those.
And I did not hit that car with my car.
Good job.
Yeah. I mean, because, like, why would you do that? There's a baby in it.
Yeah, I mean, hello, they're telling you there's a baby in here. So yeah, don't, extra caution.
Don't hit this car with your car.
Right.
Avoid it.
Yep.
Avoid it at all costs.
Because typically, if there isn't a baby in the car, I mean, I'm, like,
cut them off.
On their ass, on their bumper.
Yeah.
I'm cutting in front of them. I don't give a shit. But if I know there's a baby in there.
Honking, giving them the finger.
Yep. Learn how to drive, you fucking bitch.
I forgot who it was. Somebody on Twitter the other day, Travis, was saying they drive a lot more cautious. I think it was my friend Francis. Shout out to Francis. He was saying that after he fills up his car with gas, he's more cautious when he's driving because, you know, like you don't want to get in a car crash after you just fill it up with gas.
Am I having weird deja vu? Did we talk about this before, or did I see this online?
You might have seen it online because I replied to it. But
maybe I saw it online because I thought, that's so stupid. That's like driving more careful after you get new tires. Like,
honestly, I've thought that, though, Travis. I have. I've been like, oh, man, I hope I don't get in a crash like right after I fill up with gas. Because gas is expensive right now. That's what we need to make a sign, Travis, that says, there's no babies on board, but gas is really expensive right now.
Fresh tank of gas on board. Just got new tires on board.
Right. Yeah.
Just don't hit me yet. I still have 2,000 miles on this oil change.
But if turnabout's fair play, Travis, we need to have a bumper sticker that says, guys, I'm out of excuses. It's a prime time to run into us.
Yeah, hit this car. I'm done with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, I'm nearing the end of its life. It has over 100,000 miles on it. Running out of gas. You know, it smells weird now for some reason. It's already been hit a couple times, so we might as well just hit it again. Who gives a shit?
Need tires, need brakes, don't want to get an oil change. Now's the time.
Like, they have the orange and the green and the yellow... like air quality level, we just need to have like some kind of mechanism on a car that gives you an idea of when the best time to hit them would be.
Also, like the Homeland Security alert, yeah. Like when we're at like red and orange and stuff, but just on a vehicle is like green light means go ahead.
Maybe just make that like a new feature of Teslas and stuff, like these cars of the future. Just like, you know, as the car lowers in gas, the color changes a little bit. When it's nearing the end of like a oil change, the color changes a little bit. And like you start
to
see,
like an insurance company would go ahead and like deny your claim if you were inviting people to go ahead and hit your vehicle.
Well, see, I guess they could probably get in on it too, right? Like maybe when cars are more hittable. I don't know how could they participate in the hittable cars future that we're building here?
Oh, I don't know that. I mean, you insurance adjusters sit around thinking about different ways to deny claims or pay out cash. I would think it would take a room full of insurance adjusters to figure out how they could profit off of this, this new alert to people.
Hey, you know, like all of these different things that we talk about, like we're stopping Asian hate. What else are we stopping? We're stopping sexual harassing. Or we're stopping all kinds of stuff, Travis. We could probably just say, like, don't do any of that stuff. Just hold up a sign that says don't do any of that stuff. You like know, blanket, you know what you're doing is bad. Stop it. Yeah. You know what you're doing is bad. Stop it. That's the only sign we need. Combine it all into one.
Are you not a sociopath?
Yeah.
Then you should know to not do the garbage.
Hey, you guys know right and wrong? Hey, do more right stuff. Like a lady gives you her passport, give it back. Be a good person like me. That's what we need to do.
Think how you can profit.
Yeah. No, just do the right thing, guys. And if
WWMD, what would Mike do?
You don't need to specify that you shouldn't hit cars with babies in them. Don't hit any cars.
That's my car. I don't want you hitting
it. Yeah, I don't want you hitting it no matter what. That other stuff that we were saying, we were being facetious. We were doing
that was a
bit.
Joke. We were having a joke.
Yeah, don't hit cars, guys. Ever.
People don't want their car. If cars there's right now
babies in it, don't hit them.
Expensive.
Yeah, cars are expensive. And like, you know, even if it's like a shitty car, that's probably because the person driving it is fucking poor, Travis. It's the only car they have. They
really hard. Yeah, right. Exactly.
They're barely getting by. Don't hit their shitty car either. Babies are on board, but who gives a fuck?
Babies are on board, but somebody owns this vehicle. So just don't hurt it.
Right. I think we've done a lot in this half of the show, Travis. I think that we've really spoken to the people.
I feel like we've solved a lot of our current problems in this country. You know, and if everybody could just get on board, I think everybody'd be better off.
We're not just podcasters, Travis. We're activists.
That's right. And I want people to know that about me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We're not just doing this, like, you know, for the good of it. No, we want people to know.
I feel like I need to update my Twitter bio that says hashtag activists, hashtag, you know, stop the hate, hashtag climate control, hashtag clean up the oceans. I think that way people really know what you're all about.
We took a psychopath test a couple of weeks ago, and our friend Lisa had 17. Oh, it was after we talked to the Dirty John guy or gal.
Oh, yeah. And, Yeah.
There's like 20 traits of a psychopath.
And what was that test called? It was called
the psychopath test.
Oh, a straight up psychopath test?
I think so, yeah. Lisa had 17 of the 20.
I feel like she would answer specifically to be branded a psychopath, though.
She'd be like, oh, I'm edgy. Ooh.
Yeah, look at me, guys.
I don't give a fuck.
What color am I going to dye my hair this week?
Yeah. How many fucks do I give? Zero.
Yeah, like that. Look at my chain wallet and spiked necklace, guys. You want to see my leather boots? Yeah. I'll kick you with them.
No, she might actually be a psychopath, though, Travis.
That's probably true. Actually, I met her.
When are we going to stop putting up with the idiots in this country and just say, you now, it's mandatory to get vaccinated. Fuck them. Fuck their freedom. I want my freedom to live.
Fuck your freedom. I want my freedom to live. You say that you have rights. Ask me how many fucks I give.
New from Amazon, the Alexa Outrage Barometer, an automated third-party source that will give you an unbiased read on whether you should or shouldn't give a fuck.
Alexa, they're selling tickets to a screening of Wonder Woman that's only for women.
The film is being shown on 3,000-plus screens nationwide. Go to a different one.
But it's sexist, right? They're infringing on my rights.
Maybe, but it's ultimately just some broads watching a shitty DC movie. It makes them happy. Why do you give a shit?
Oh. Thanks, Alexa.
The Amazon Alexa Outrage Barometer. Because there's a battle every day. We can help you choose the right ones.
Strangely, we like all the same pop culture bullshit that you like.
I am very old, and there's still a lot of things left to do before I die.
What are you doing, old man? Back up off me before you get...
So much to do, so little time. Going down. After all these years, I had found what made me happy. But in doing so, hurt the ones I love.
Sometimes I think you care more about your murdering than you do your own daughter.
You only get one chance at life. Make it count.
You like those geek boxes because it's a surprise, right?
It's like Christmas.
However loosely they can apply the nerd moniker to anything in the pop culture sphere, they can then mail you t-shirts you won't wear and knick-knacky shit for franchises you don't even like that much. Get the bullshit box for the real surprise. For $25, you might get a Pop-Tart. You might get solid gold. We're not sending you gold, though. Not ever. The bullshit box. That's the real fucking surprise.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Ain't nothing like a peanut butter and banana sandwich while you're taking a shit.
Welcome back. Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. Travis, I was kind of wondering, because Drunk had told us he wasn't coming, but then he kind of said,
was saying this was the day he's not coming.
Then he said he might come.
Yep.
And I do have.
He actually said, might be a little late tonight.
Yeah, but then he dropped off the face of the earth. So who knows? Yep. Maybe he forgot he wasn't coming tonight, Travis. I don't know.
And he was like, "Oh yeah, I'm not coming."
I wanted to play a fun game show with Drunk, and when he said he might come, I prepared one, but who knows if he's coming or not. You don't know. Well, what I do know is that if there is there's a baby in any of the cars, he should drive cautiously around them.
Yeah, be careful, Drunk.
That horror movie that I saw a bunch of people tweeting about. I saw you tweeting about it.
Oh yes.
It's called Malignant.
Malignant. It's the new motion picture from James Wan, director of Saw and Insidious and The Conjuring and Fast and the Furious 6, maybe? I don't know. Aquaman, all those things. It's new horror flick.
You know, like, I was never a big horror man. As I've done this program with you as long as I have, and you talk about horror movies that you enjoy all the time. Like I catch one here and there, and I think I could have very easily been a horror man. I think,
yeah,
maybe,
right. Like
maybe if, like it if, caught if me you, too late in my life.
Right.
But I could have been into this the whole time.
Yeah, the most people who are into horror discovered it early, right? Like most of us horror fans were watching movies we shouldn't have been watching when we were like, you know, 7, 8, 9 years old, which was the case with me. Even so far as I think I've mentioned on the show before, back in the 80s, you could almost get like a free pass at video stores where all your parents had to do is say, whatever, let this kid rent anything. Beyond anything, beyond the beaded curtain, you know, the pornographic films, if you had this note on file, you could pretty much rent anything. So I think most of us who are really into it, you know, kind of just pretty much went up and down the video store aisle renting anything with a video box that looked amazing. And yeah, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. Like, I don't know a lot of people in my, you know, my own life that also really love horror movies. Some people are indifferent and some people just flat out will not watch them, including my wife. It's got to be my birthday or something for her to watch a horror movie. But yeah, right. Like if you allow yourself to get into it, they're fun.
Hey, baby, Malignant is my birthday. You want to pop in a VHS and watch some murders.
She wouldn't. I really wanted her to watch The Conjuring because, you know, James Wan's movies typically, his earlier horror movies, you know, minus Saw and things, they're like chock full of jump scares. And she actually had seen one of his previous movies, Dead Silence, before, which is one of my favorite horror movies. It's so ridiculous, but it's just chock full of jump scares. It's all puppets and fucking weird, creepy old ladies trying to eat people and shit. And she had seen that and hates that movie. Just like it terrified the shit out of her. So when I said, hey, it's the guy who did Dead Silence, you should watch The Conjuring. She's like, I'm not doing that. So I waited till the right time. I said, she's like, well, it's your birthday. We just went out, maybe had some dinner. The kids are, what do you want to do? I'm like, well, it's my birthday, so I'd really like to watch The Conjuring, and I would like you to not go to bed while I turn it on. So I did get her to watch The Conjuring.
I think that what I appreciate about this movie, and by the way, I think that it has to be my pick of the week because, I mean, it's probably yours too, right?
Yeah, it's Malignant is absolutely my pick of the week. This thing was...
It's kind of stupid, which I think
is stupid.
Why I love it. Like, I think as I get older, Travis, I like stupid things. Like, I think maybe like I've got over my bullshit and like I'm not such a snob anymore. And I'm just allowing myself to enjoy stupid.
Just let me be entertained. Was I entertained? Yep. And good movie. And that's what this thing is like. And I'm not going to spoil anything because I went in. All I knew it was a new movie by James Wan. And this thing is like it harkens. You talk about the stupid. It harkens back to like movies out of the 80s and 90s that are beloved now, like cult followings of these things that are just over the top and nuts, but they're so fun, like Maniac Cop and Shocker, all of these wackadoo movies that people love because they are just over. And this, the way I experienced Malignant is I turned it on a Friday night, probably a little bit too late. We were doing some other shit and I was like, everybody went to bed. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to turn it up. I'm going to watch Malignant, made some popcorn. And I got through the first third, maybe the first half. So it starts out like just a regular James Wan, creepy, weird, what's going on movie. And I fell asleep. So I'm like, God damn it. So the next day, I think the wife and daughter had to go do something. Or maybe the wife and son had to go do something. And the daughter was in her room. I'm like, I'm going to shut the curtains. It's daytime. I'm going to watch the rest of this thing. And when I restarted this goddamn movie, I did not have any idea what the second half of this thing had in store for me. It was not what I expected. It was fucking bananas. I'm like laughing and like, it's goddamn, was that a fun movie?
Right. And like, I think that it's better to not know anything.
Like, oh, you can't.
You don't want to learn anything because then it won't be as much fun because it's so stupid.
Right. If you know anything going in, you're just going to be waiting for it.
Yeah, you're
going
to be waiting for the stupid to arrive.
Right.
You have to be caught off guard by the stupid.
Right. And this brings me back when we had Brendan Steer on the program talking about his initial movie, the director of Velocipastor, right? When we were talking about movies that start out one way and then deliver something completely different in the last third, right? Like you didn't know this was coming,
right?
And now it's not the same movie you thought you were watching, and how great those movies are and how they don't get made anymore because you can't market them, right? It's like hard to market a movie that twists itself in half in the penultimate arc, right? So I just, the fact that this movie got made by a studio because James Wan is like a fucking guaranteed moneymaker and he was able to do whatever he wanted and he made this movie is just, mwah. I mean, I love it.
He's just like, guys, just give me some money. Look, don't ask any questions. Eventually, I'm going to bring you something back and you can sell it. Put it on HBO. Who gives a shit? Just give me money. I'm going to go make a crazy thing. Okay?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me make a crazy thing. And then, I don't know, what other franchise do you have an installment of you need me to direct, right? Like, I created like three franchises, like huge superstar franchises with Saw, The Conjuring, Insidious. Just let me do what the fuck I want and I'll make your second Aquaman movie. <You know? laughs>
Well, Travis, I don't know. I don't think the drunk's coming.
No, at this point, I would say he's not.
Do you just want to save the game for next week, maybe?
I feel like we should save the game. If you created a game in anticipation of drunk showing up, I think...
I mean, you can't play the game by yourself, right. Travis. What fun would that be?
Right, exactly. It's if you created the game in anticipation of drunk showing up, I think it would only be right to play it with drunk.
Well, is there anything that we didn't talk about that we should have? Was there news?
I feel like we were alluding to with all of our altruistic talk earlier that we would be remiss to mention the new game show.
Oh, that, Travis, how could I have that written on the list and I forgot it, Travis?
Right.
The people probably already know about this, right? It's been in the news.
People know about this, and it's absolutely getting blowback already. So you knew it was coming, and
so it's.
But I mean, yeah,
like an American Idol style. Yeah, is it or is it? I guess it'd be more like The Apprentice, right? It's kind of The Apprentice.
I think isn't it more like Project Greenlight, but for.
It's called People's... The Activist.
Yeah.
Usher. And one of the Dancing with the Stars dancer gals, Julianne Hough.
The blonde girl. The blonde girl who was in the Footloose. Was she in the Footloose remake? Was that what she was in?
Yeah. They are going to judge a competitive reality show where you compete to see who can do the best activism.
Yeah, who is the better person? It's taking the Twitter activism. I'm a really good person. I'm doing all that I can for this cause. Not because I'm actually actively doing anything, because I want social points. So I'm just doing shit on social media, nothing in the real world. So I just want Twitter cred, and it's blowing it up by like.
Are you judged by who makes the most money for the cause? Are you judged on like
who makes a better sign?
How do you score points? How do you score your activism points? Is it who like. Means it the most,
right? Who has disowned more family because they weren't on board with their activism?
Yeah.
Who feels more holier than thou? Like who is
the most holy?
Who is the most holy activist?
And you will be judged by Usher, Travis.
You know, when you're being judged by Usher, you got it bad.
So some network had like some kind of holding deal on Usher that he just ended up on this thing, right? I mean, like it wasn't like they chose Usher to be the guy.
No. Some shit.
When you think of activism, Travis, you don't think of Usher and Julianne Hough.
Some shithead was like, you know what's so hot right now? Feigning cares about specific causes. You know what would be really cool is if we turned activism into a game show. Well, like, oh shit, but who's gonna want to be on that? Well, it doesn't matter who wants to be on that. Because we have Julianne Hough under contract and Usher Raymond, and they're just gonna be on it.
Right. It's like, you know, how did Ken Jeong end up on The Masked Singer? Ken Jeong's a doctor. What does he know about music? Jenny McCarthy's dated musicians. Okay. Robin Thicke's had hit songs. Okay. Why is Ken Jeong there, Travis? Because they just they had him under contract. They were paying him anyway.
Yeah.
And so like whatever dirtbags that had any sort of fame whatsoever, they're like, we got this shitty idea for an activism show. Let's just toss Usher at it. We have him under contract anyway.
Speaking of terrible show ideas, have you seen the promo for like the Avatar singing contest now? They've taken The Voice and The Masked Singer and they have like made it even stupider by putting motion capture suits on people and having them create an awful, awful 90s style Hewlett Packard animated character that sings the song they're singing.
Right. It's the Masked Singer for people they couldn't talk into putting the stupid suits on. They're like, hey, do you want to just like show up in a studio for a couple days and sing a couple karaoke songs? That they'll probably get better celebrities, Travis, because they'll get the ones who like still had some dignity, who didn't want to dress up like a giant egg.
We know you don't want to be a big chicken, but are you familiar with motion capture suits? It's just like a headband and like a leotard with a bunch of golf balls glued to it. Are you okay with that?
It's like a Pixar. You show up in a studio, you can wear your pajamas. You sing a Kenny Chesney song and we'll give you a check. Will you do that one? It's going to go on after The Masked Singer. You don't have to wear the stupid outfit. Okay, yeah, I'll do that. Yeah, and actually, they probably are running out of people who will do The Masked Singer. So like this new video game one, they could just recycle the people again. They could just bring them all back.
You did this 2 years ago. Come in and do the video game thing.
Yeah. I mean, like Dr. Drew already did The Masked Singer. We can't have him back, but we're running out of celebrities. What do? New show. Now it's the video game one. Bring him back.
I think it's you just take whoever got bounced from like Dancing with the Stars in the first round, you just say, hey, you know, we know you only lasted 1 week on Dancing with the Stars, but our sister production company is making like a thing where you're a video game, but you sing. Would you be cool with doing that? Yeah, I mean, it'd be another week of paychecks.
Yeah. The activist, Travis, they've like taken something and they've just removed anything worth a shit from it. And now it's just like a husk. It's like a banana peel.
That seems to be most of what our media consuming is right now, is just how much of the soul can we suck out of a thing and shove it in front of people's faces.
Well, and to a lesser degree, the video game show that you were talking about is the same thing, Travis, because we have a hit. Like, let's just like have a hit and make episodes of that hit. Let's just do that. Like, let's not like cram four seasons a year in like they did with The Voice. I mean, like The Voice never ends. Like we have a new The Voice like every 4 months. Like as soon as The Voice ends, we start The Voice up again because it's a hit. We got to keep it going. But like now, like we're doing The Masked Singer over and over and over again. The Masked Singer's going on tour and like they don't even have any of the Masked Singers there, but like they just pick somebody up on the street on the way and say, oh, this guy used to be a former St. Louis Cardinal, and now he's the guy that we paid to show up in this mascot costume. And like we wring every little bit out of it until we're done with it. Like Britney Spears, yeah. Travis. Like we just we drag Britney Spears's carcass all over the world until we're all tired of looking at her.
Yeah, until it's the scene from Game of Thrones where they make Lena Headey strip naked and walk through the town square and people throw apples at her. I mean, that's pretty much what we do with everything that people like, is like, everybody loves this. We're going to do it until they're so sick of it, they don't even know what it is anymore. And then we're going to kill it dead.
Right. Brittany, you can't be happy. We still want to watch you shake your ass on Instagram. Bring it back. What are you doing? You want to live a normal life? No.
We got you out of purgatory so you'd shave your head again and try to beat people up with an umbrella.
Yeah. We want to see you do crazy stuff again. You thought that like we were concerned about your well-being. We're not.
No. That's the same thing as like now that all the reports that I've seen is that Lindsay Lohan is healthy and living a pretty decent life now, trying to get back in the industry. And you think anybody gives a shit?
Nobody cares
about that.
I don't want to see healthy Lindsay Lohan, Travis.
You want to see strung out?
Who wants to
crazy
see
Lindsay Lohan?
What is she going to like? Exactly. Go on talk shows and like talk about how she's eating vegan and like happy and ew.
Happiest she's ever been in her life and can't wait to get back on the horse.
No.
No way, dude.
Charles, let me ask you a question. Do you have what you would say? We already did that, didn't we?
Do it. Let's say it again.
Pick of the week, right? Pick of the week is
Malignant.
Malignant. It's on HBO Go or HBO Max.
It's currently in theaters and also streaming on HBO Max. If you would like to go on a wild ride for a movie that starts out one thing and ends up being a completely other thing. And by the way, the person, do you remember the scene when it's not spoiling anything to say there's a killer in the movie. Do you remember the scene when the killer jumps down the fire escapes all fucked up?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he's like jumps out of that building and like goes fire escape to fire escape to fire. That was an actual stunt woman who I found on Instagram. I'll share her with you.
Was it that Zoe gal that was in?
No.
Because I thought I saw her in the credits. Maybe I saw her in a different credits of a different movie.
Yeah, she's in the prison scene or the jail scene when our main character goes to jail for a minute.
Right.
She's in that jail scene, you know, shouting.
That's the only stunt person I know, Travis.
This broad, I've never heard of this gal before. She's actually apparently an actor, but she's like. It's amazing. I'll share with you her Instagram.
In the chat, Travis Maul says he wants to see a Britney Spears Macaulay Culkin cage match. Has Macaulay Culkin kind of got his shit together? He's just kind of like went off and did his own thing, right? Doesn't he have like a podcast or something now?
Yeah, he's had his shit together for years. He's made so much money. He just does whatever the fuck he wants to do.
Yeah, we need to get him back on coke so that he can do cage matches with Britney Spears, dude. Like when Tanya Harding was like boxing.
Oh yeah, boy, the celebrity bullshit boxing.
Travis, what the hell has happened to boxing, man? Like they have like old ass Mike Tyson just having silly little sparring matches with other old ass guys. And they brought Evander Holyfield out a couple days ago. And like the only boxing people we know now are those YouTube Paul guys.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell happened to boxing?
The UFC happened to boxing.
Yeah. There you go. That's what happened. I guess nobody does boxing anymore. Now they do that because it's, probably where the money is, right? In the chat, Jody says Shane Gillis's stand-up special is his pick of the week. Travis, I watched that too. It was really good. It wasn't as good as Malignant. Malignant's art. But Shane Gillis's special, it's free on YouTube. It's great. But I keep seeing people like post how many views it has and like celebrating it, and I don't understand why they're doing that. I guess we're...
People are assholes.
Cheering for the little guy. Travis, we're with the underdog story. Woo, underdog.
It's either we gotta, hey, look at how great this is doing because I've watched it 17 times from different IP addresses, or it's somebody who wants people who want to shit on somebody and say, haha, look how this has only got two views.
No, he's got a lot of views. They were cheering that.
But that's what I'm saying. Yeah, they're good. Cheering on it. But that's because there's some fucking weird Reddit group that got together and said, hey, guys, go to Starbucks and watch it and go to work and watch it, because if it's an independent IP address, then it'll give him more views.
And you then stick we'll your get it. Thumb in the eyes of the bastards, Travis. Because this YouTube video got a bunch of views.
That's, haha, guys, you don't need to do whatever. You could just do what he did. Look at all the views.
Great. Views. Great. But no, yeah, it's great. And it is good. So watching it. And I'm just saying that because I enjoyed it, not because I give a shit politically about what watching it means.
Oh, is that it? Is it supposed to mean something,
Mike? I don't know, Kevin.
I assume.
I saw people talking about it, Travis, on Twitter, and I was like, I'll see what this is about. I watched it. It was funny.
Yeah, it's fun. And then you moved on with your life.
It was funny. I watched it. The guy's good at telling stand-up comedy jokes, Travis. It's funny. Yeah. So,
guys, not everything has to mean something.
We did it.
Drunk's back next week.
Drunk's back next week, Travis, and I'll give you a little teaser of what we're going to play next week with Drunk.
It's Bob that shit.
So, yeah, thanks. Good turnout in chat tonight. Guys, don't get a Bud Light Seltzer Maple Pear. It's pretty gross. Don't like it. Sorry, you want to tell people what not to get?
I think everything this week has been pretty good. I don't think that I'm avoiding anything. So go out and get everything.
Get everything, guys. Bye.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. To enjoy our back catalog, visit WFODshow.com and be sure to share the show with a friend. Thank you to our Patreon sponsors for their continued support, Amanda Napier, Liquid Lozenge, Valerie Carpenter, and Brian Kranz. If you would like to donate to keep this pirate ship afloat, visit patreon.com/WFODix. Follow us on social media, email any one of us with our name at WFODshow.com, or leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. A thank you also goes out to Carl Casey at White Bat Audio for the music we used this week. Until next time, signing off. Goodbye. You know, Travis, you give one chair tour and you never hear the end of it. There was
one tour of the chairs.
There was a day that I just decided, you know what? What I'm going to do is I'm going to walk around here and I'm going to show everybody all my chairs.
Mm-hmm.
So I did. I showed everybody all my chairs.
This was unsolicited. You just wanted to show people all of the chairs that you owned?
Yeah.
Kitchen chairs, folding chairs, like lazy boy, all that kind of stuff.
All of them. I went around the whole, I did the whole inside, the whole outside, showed everybody all my chairs.
So you never hear the end of it because people want you to do a new series on all the different tables.
They want to see like all of my something else, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
you have to give the people what they want. Sometimes put that behind the paywall.
A guy he just wants to show off all of the seating that he has available to him. It's a humble brag, is what it is, Trevis. What you're saying is, I can sit in lots of places.
How many places can you sit? Because I'm a big fan of sitting, and I have set up my life to be able to sit down almost anywhere.
I have accumulated wealth, and I have taken that wealth to the local Walmarts and Targets of this area. And purchase chairs.
What else are you going to do with it? You know?
Can't take it with you, Travis.
Can't take it with you.
I don't think
what you can take with you.
What?
The happiness of having sat for so many years.
Travis, I don't think I can finish this maple pear. It's gross.
I'm surprised you've drank that much of it, to be honest.
I don't like it.